our time together in songs and the table. And now we come to that portion where we look at God's word. Before we look at this message this morning, first and foremost, is there anyone here that is visiting with us for the very first time? First time here today? All right. No first timers. Amen. Amen. Second timers. Okay. All right. Well, we welcome you here at the Green Bank Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us for the first time, there's a packet of information on your way out that we'd love to be able to give to you. And if you have any questions at all about our congregation or any way in which we can be able to minister to you and your family, please let it be known and we'll do our very best. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And I'm highlighting verses 10 through 12, but I want to read the entire chapter from a New Century Version. Psalm 51, I'm going to start at verse 1, says, "For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to David after David's sin with Bathsheba. God, be merciful to me, because you are loving, because you are always ready to be merciful. Wipe out all my wrongs, wash away all my guilt, and make me clean again. I know about my wrongs, and I can't forget my sin. You're the only one I've sinned against. I've done what you say is wrong, and you are right when you speak and fair when you judge. I was brought into this world in sin. In sin, my mother gave birth to me. And you want me to be completely truthful, so teach me wisdom. Take away my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you crush be happy again. Turn your face from my sins and wipe away all my guilt. Create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. Do not send me away from you or take away your spirit from me, but give me back the joy of your salvation. Keep me strong by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach your ways to those who do wrong, and sinners will turn back to you. God, save me from the guilt of murder, God of my salvation, and I will sing about your goodness. Lord, let me speak so I might praise you. You are not pleased by sacrifices, or else I would have given them. You don't want burnt offerings, but the sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit. God, you will not reject a heart that is broken and sorry for sin. Do whatever, God, good you wish for Jerusalem. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and then you will be pleased with right sacrifices and whole burnt offerings, and bulls will be offered on your altar." Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you, and we thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercy, and we ask that you would help us as we journey into these scriptures this morning, Lord, that you might allow us to see what you need us to see about ourselves and about you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us this day. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercy, for the good times and even the bad times, Lord. We pray that you may open our eyes to your will for us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I remember that day. I saw it die. Well, it didn't really just die. It was dying, but I really noticed it. I would go there often. I'd walk through those doors, and I'd see the smiling people looking at me, and I'd smell, and it was a wonderful smell of rotisserie chicken. Boston Market, if you didn't know, had in the past tense, had wonderful wonderful home-style cooked meals. Everybody, it wasn't everybody's favorite. As a matter of fact, in my household, I was the only one that loved it. However, I loved it. But I remember this chain that I would often frequent. I mean, it was kind of like a right in the middle between fast food and home-cooked meals. And you can go in there and kind of get the home meal feel, but with the fast food experience. And I remember starting to walk in there, and I would go in there frequently and enough, and I started seeing some changes in the place. The smiling customer service welcoming you in, they wasn't so smiling anymore. The food, while it was usually still pretty good, didn't have the same appearance. The sweet potato fluff, you know, you always have to be asking them, bring some new stuff out, because that stuff looked like it had been on the line for quite some time. I guess some amens on that. All right. Y'all know what we're talking about. You start seeing the quality go down. Not only was the quality of the food down, and even the people and the customer service was poor, you started seeing the environment, the whole building start to come. I mean, the cleanliness, I don't know if you remember, but up in Philadelphia Pike, I think that's when I first stopped all eating of any type of Boston Market, was when they found insects in the restaurants, okay? And so you started seeing something. And I noticed something else that happened because I started looking at this journey a little bit, this downward spiral. There was something happening all the way at the top. The people weren't paying. You guys remember these stories that were in the news? They weren't paying, at least in this region here. Boston Market employees were not getting paid. They were going to work, and then they were like, hey, we don't got the money to pay you, so just continue coming to work, and then we'll catch up with you later. And the judge had to actually put something on them in order to force them to pay their own employees. So guess what happens to morale when you're not getting paid or getting paid right? Hello. And finally one day I just said, I think there's still a couple out there now, but I won't venture into them anymore, because something happened at the top and it trickled down to the bottom. There was a change. The vision changed. The passion changed. The service changed. Everything changed. And when it changed, it started that downward spiral to where we are today. Most of you can hardly find one in our area. And if you do, like I said, I don't even go in them because I don't know what's in them anymore. Passion rarely fizzles out in one moment, just like that. It's a progress. It starts and it stops. It like a fire that at one point is burning in intense heat and is on fire and all of that. And as you see a fire, at some point, it starts to fizzle away and fade away. And you can't identify that exact moment when it happens or where it happens, but you start to see that fizzle. Marriages that sometimes we think they were so strong and all that, and it looks like, and maybe even started out on fire. And then after a while, I've heard and seen in my lifetime some families and some people that I just thought like, wow, they're going to be with each other. I mean, you see one, you see the other, and all of a sudden it's like that word comes up. And you notice that sometimes something that you thought would last forever, that was permanent and all that, that even that love that you think is so on fire, that too can start to fizzle away. And in the church, us, our love for God, our desire to serve God, our desire to be with God's people, our desire to continue the mission of promoting God and Jesus Christ and Him crucified and doing all of that, we lose passion sometimes for some important things, Something that we claim, like, God, you're number one in my life, but yet we can still lose passion for the things that we're doing. We can even keep doing good things, coming to church and all that, but still something be a little bit disconnected. And so David, really, as he's giving this lesson here to us and for us, as he's really pleading to God, but the things that we can see from this, one of the things that David is not doing is David is not just saying, Lord, just forgive me. Let me say this also. A lot of times I want to be forgiven. I want to be forgiven. I want to be forgiven. And we all want to be forgiven. But David was at a place where he understood his forgiveness, but something still was missing. Right? He's saying, Lord, restore this passion to me. I might be forgiven. I understand that I'm saved. I understand that I'm covered by your grace, but there's something, there's a disconnect. There's something that's missing still. I'm going through the motions, and I'm going to church, and I'm even going to Bible class, or doing this and doing that. I'm doing the right things, but there's something missing. And so while yes, he's pleading for forgiveness, it's more than just forgiveness. He wants restoration. Bring me back. I remember back when I was on fire. I remember back when it was exciting, when it was new. Do y'all remember when it was new? I want to take you back for a little bit. Take you back to those moments. And, you know, maybe for some of you it still is new, and that's awesome. But for some of us old heads, the OGs, the OG Christians in the audience today, all right, let's go back a little bit and remember the time that you were still struggling in sin. Remember the time when you had lost hope, when you were still in the world and still doing our own things and all that, and yet there was a light that came on. We saw the light. We came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and of course I'm generalizing this for all of us, but you had that moment, and now all of a sudden here you're a part of the body of Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. That old man is washed away, and now he's become new. Do you remember that? Do you remember how it felt to get up out of that water grave of baptism, to be dripping with that water is still dripping down, recognizing I'm a new creature in Christ? And if you ever had something that was new, that was fantastic, you had to do what? You had to tell somebody. That's right. You had to go tell somebody. Nobody had to tell you and prepare nothing. Hey John, there's something that happened to me today. There's something that happened to me. Let me tell you about what happened to me, my experience. Nobody had to give you a script and tell you to go to Genesis and Revelation and all that. No, let me tell you about my experience and what Jesus did for me. You didn't need to know A to Z. All you had is a little bit of passion. And somebody heard. And somebody, I wonder what's going on over there at Green Bank. What are they doing over there? What are they teaching over there? Let me go see what's going on. Because why? Because you have passion. You would easily tell people about Jesus because, look, this is fresh and this is new and this is good. And look, I'm learning and I'm growing. And I want you to come along with me, my friend and my family and all of that. What happened? You remember that time? Waking up and going your Bible and reading it, not just for a routine, but so you can communicate with and receive, give and receive with the God of heaven. When you would come to church, not to scrutinize, and he preached a little long today. He messed up that scripture. Oof. Right? But when you can come to engage and to give and to receive and to come and to love and to provoke one another to love and to good work, to encourage one another, to be there one for another, to carry one another's burdens, to help each other in this thing called, this walk called life. Let's look at this scripture that David's saying. First, he says this statement. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. I tried my own ways, Lord, but I need you to create in me. I need you to pull that passion back up from me. I need you to pull that up from me, but I know where I'm going and I know who I'm asking first. I ain't asking mama and dad and them. I'm not asking them. No, he's going to the Lord. Lord, you are God Almighty. You can do what no one else can do. You can do what the doctor, Dr. Phil can't give me a prescription better than yours, Lord. No, no one else can do what you can do. And so I go to you. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now I need you to understand this. David, his passion didn't just fall accidentally. Right? We read this earlier. This is after Nathan had already confronted him about his sin. And if you don't know anything about his sin, he committed adultery. After he committed adultery, he tried to cover up his adultery because he impregnated a woman that was not his wife. And now, in order to try to cover it up, he brought her husband, who was out to war, back into town so that he would have relations with his wife. And then they believed that the baby was because of that union. Because obviously, if he's not there and she's having a baby, that's a problem. All right? So he brought him back. And then but the problem was that Uriah was like, I'm not going to seek my wife if none of the other soldiers that are out there are able to come home. Why am I home with this great privilege? I should be out there on the battlefield. He has so much integrity. You see that? So all of a sudden, David's like, all right, well, that's not going to work. All right, well, this is what we do. You want to be on that line? Go put him on that line then. And then when the enemy comes, retreat the men and let him be out on the front. And it works. David caused another man's murder. And he thought he got away with it. And Nathan came and confronted him. And all of a sudden, and so this is a result of now him in his sin, him in his guilt, realizing his error and his ways and how far he had been away from God. And it didn't just happen once again accidentally. He didn't just stumble into it. Psalm 32:3, he talks about, he says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. See, sin, when sin comes in, and you know, you've heard this, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. And so David was now feeling the weight of his sins, and he felt the guilt of his sins. His hands are now marred, and his heart is heavy as a result of all of this. And so he's crying to God, look, I can't fix this. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. He's pleading to God to come do a work where? A work on his heart. My heart, the center of your emotion and your will, decision making, your heart. We're not talking about the beating hearts. The core of who he is. That's what he's saying. Look, I need a fix up. I need a fix up from right from the core of who I am, Lord. I need you to come in and really talk to me. Not the me I pretend to be, not the me the face I put on when I'm around other people, but I need you to do a work that's deeper, a deep work within me, Lord. Create in me, Lord. And he's saying, when I kept silent about it, listen, when I kept silent about it, I just hold it in. You know how it is. We like to keep our stuff close to the vest, right? And even toward God. Even toward God. You can almost see him bursting and releasing toward God. I've been heavy. I've been holding this. I've been, and now all of a sudden, boom, Lord, I need you to do a work on me. I need you to fix me up. I need you. And I want you to recognize this. There's nothing wrong with David coming like this. Who else would he go to? Right? Like God is the only one that can do this work, this deep work within his life, and he recognizes that. And so that's why he turns to him to build him up and help him from within where he is. And then he says, renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit means a steadfast spirit, a faithful spirit. He's saying, there's a song we sing, though all hell assail me, I shall not be what? Moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Lord, trial, don't allow trial to move me. Tribulation, Lord, help me that tribulation doesn't move me. Bad days, good days, presidential administrations. Lord, don't let anything move me. Death, Lord, don't let it. Cancer, Lord, don't let any. Sickness, Lord, don't let. The kids, them kids. Hello. Life. I told you last week, life be lifing sometimes, right? Life be lifing. But Lord, don't let life, don't let the things of this world block me from the blessing of what's to come, because there's something that is greater than what we have on this side. That's why we're here, right? Amen. So he says, renew this right spirit within me. I need a right spirit that makes me stand and be faithful no matter the storms that are coming with me, when the winds blow and the rains fall down, the winds blow and beat upon my house. I want my house to stand. Lord, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be steadfast. Help me not that this passion, that it be a true passion, not performative, not just for people to be able to see. You know, you turn it on when the others are looking, and then when they're not looking, well, you know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees that were like that. That, you know, when people were looking, I mean, and they were fasting, they made sure that you could tell they were suffering. When people were looking, they were praying, that you knew that they were so articulate. They were so connected with God because of the way that they spoke to God with so many words. The way they dressed, the titles that they wore, all of those things that they thought were impressive to God, but they didn't impress God. God is looking for connection from you and from me, that goes beyond what you can do, you know, up front. You know, I tell people a lot, there are a lot of people that want to be up front. And I'll tell you what, I always ask, why? Why do you want to be up front? Some people want to be up front to be seen and to feel important and to do all this and that. God is looking for not performance. God is looking for true people of purpose that understand and are connected with God and desire that. He says, renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, what God wants us to do is to put our focus and our intention upon him and to follow his lead. Simple. Excuse me. Concept is simple. The concept is simple. Then David jumps. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. David saw something. David grew up in a house where he saw another king that was there. You remember King Saul? The Israelites, they wanted a king, and Saul was the first king. God first warned them, look, you shouldn't have any kings. All right, they saw all the other nations having kings and all that. God warned them that these kings would be corrupt and would cause them lots of harm, but still they said, sign me up. We want a king. They got a king. Saul's the first king, and he started out really good. He started out really well. He started out, and yet later, he started slipping up, and he started disobeying God, and God took the throne from him and gave it to David. Saul was still king. Saul was still king, but he was fading. This is the key. This is what I'm trying to show you. But he was fading. His passion started out so good, and David saw his entire fall. David saw when he was the man, right? And then David saw when this giant, the super of a man, all of a sudden he looked and was just like, wow, who is this guy? I want you to think about that now, because now David is king. And David, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, it says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. David saw that. David understood that. David saw a model of what could be for him if he continued in the same way of Saul. And so David goes, look, I don't want that for me. I don't want that for me. And so he's crying out to God, and he says, cast me not from thy presence. Because I've seen what happens when someone is cast from your presence. I've seen when your hand is taken off of someone, the repercussions of that, and what that looks like. And I don't want that to happen to me. So, Lord, don't throw me away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. See, the reality is you can still hold the mic and not have the mantle anymore. You can still go through the performance, and we can still go through the routine and all of that, and we can still do loving acts but not have love within us. We can do service but not have a servant spirit within. And so what we're asking God to do, what David was asking God to do, look, I don't just want to go through motions. I want this to be authentic. I want this to be real. I want something real, because that's what we strive for, right? We want realness in our relationship with the Lord. And so that's exactly what he's saying. In Exodus chapter 33:15, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not there. Moses, he's talking about the promised land, going into the promised land. Lord, if you're not with me, I don't want to go. If your presence and your spirit is not with me, why am I going? Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't want to go. And so, and that's where we ought to be today, this morning. Why are we here if God's spirit is not with us? And if it's not with us, then it needs to, for us to beg a question, to say, to start doing a little bit of internal inventory and looking into this mirror and looking into our hearts and looking at our face and looking at us clearly according to God's word. Why is it my zeal is not here? And if it isn't, just like David did, we can plead to God. We can ask for his help. We can ask him to enter in and to help us in this as well. Because look at what he says in verse 12. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold with thy free spirit. And hold me, rather, with thy free spirit. He's not saying restore my salvation. He's not saying restore my salvation. That's important. David's saved. David knows he's saved. He's not saying, Lord, save me. He says, restore the joy of my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. The exercise I did earlier, taking you back to that moment, taking you back to that time, that's the feeling we want to get. Again, you remember in the I can do them again. Go back and remember your first love. He told the church, you guys are going through a lot of emotions. I mean, you're looking at false prophets and you're dealing with them. You're doing a lot of good works. He says, but this I have against you. You've left your first love where it was fun again. When it was exciting again, when the scriptures came alive and you just, whenever the doors of the church opened, you wanted to be there because you knew something was happening. There was wood being thrown on the fire. Lord, help us all to come in with some wood. And help us all to put our wood on the fire and to help it to grow. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold thy free spirit within me. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that's why I told you, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. See, passion will reignite our purpose. When we get passion again, when that joy comes back again, guess what? I want to do. I want to do. I want to do. As a matter of fact, I don't know if one comes before the other. Sometimes the other comes before. Sometimes you got to get to work to get the passion to get started again. Y'all ain't like that one. I didn't hear no like amen on that one, huh? Sometimes you got to get to work before the passion comes. I was teaching the kids this morning. I don't normally like teaching younger kids, to tell you the truth. But I'm good with them. And Sue came in and she went away sick this morning, so let's keep her in our prayer. Sue Maynard, she came in and then left right out, so let's keep her in our prayers. She wasn't feeling well. And so then we had a lot of kids, and then we had to combine two classes. And anyway, first of all, the kids were just amazing and wonderful and bright, and wow, it was just a blessing to be able to teach them, right? But I don't know why I started talking about this now. I missed my point. The kids were so nice. They were so good, them kids. I'm hoping my point come back to me right now. But passion. I think it was something about passion. I'm going to pass it because I can't remember it now. Huh? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Sometimes you just got to get to work. And even in that class, I was like, oh, Lord. What are we getting ready to do? But we just got, Noah's Ark was a topic. Oh, I kind of know Noah's Ark a little bit. Let's talk about it. And we had a good time together, Cedric and I, teaching 20 kids. God wants to use us. And sometimes, once you get started, then it's like, oh, wow. All right, it's like riding a bike. You start riding again. So maybe some of y'all need to get back on the bike. Still ain't hear an amen. Still ain't hear an amen on that one. All right. Somebody need to get back on the bike. All right. let's get to this last point. How to restore. We understand we all go through this. So this isn't, I think. We all go through this. We all have our high moments and our low moments in our walk. If you are on this spiritual walk long enough, you're going to go through some dry seasons. You're going to go through some seasons when you're just on that mountaintop, and you're going to go through some seasons when you're in that valley. This is just called life. All right? But when you're in that valley, these are moments for us to look up, as the brother was sharing of the song of ascent, to look up to God. Where are help coming from? When you're in the lowest moment, all you can do is look up. So let's be honest, like David was, right? Let's really put it out there. Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need help with. Let's maybe even find us some scriptures to help in that particular area. You know your particular areas of need. Get a list. Scriptures that touch with that specific area. Commit those to memory. That way, in the times of attack, you can recall scripture to help you in your defeat. Isn't that what Jesus did with Satan in the desert? Satan came trying to attack him with scripture, and Jesus fought back with the truth of scripture, the whole truth of scripture. And so in our attacks, it helps us also. Be honest like David, all right? Ask for a clean heart. Ask for God to come in. A lot of times, hello, a lot of times we have not because we, yeah. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Let's ask and let's take it to the throne of the Lord. And then return to that joy. Remember that moment. Always recall. It's always good to stop and to reflect and to remember the journey that got you to where you are, right? That journey of that moment that God touched our lives. Carry that. Remember it. There's a reason the Lord keeps pointing back to that moment. It's a special moment, and it's an encouraging moment for each of us. So continue to go back and remember that. And then, of course, surround yourself with spirit-filled people. You know, we're stronger together than alone. And we need more encouragement, more and more, as we see these days approaching. Hello. The days are rough and tough and dark and all that. And so we need the people, the children of the light. We need to be together. We need to encourage one another. And then lastly, and this is only something you can do, and you and God, recommit to Him. Recommit. Everything in life starts with a decision. It starts with a decision. All that's waiting for you to start that new journey, that new walk, is to make a decision. Hopefully make the right decision. Make the godly decision. But it's the decision, and it's the decision only you can make. Jesus came, He died on the cross, He did His part. He died, was buried, and He rose on the third day according to the scriptures. He did His part. God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father did His part. The Son did His part. The Holy Spirit did His part. And they offer to us, to you, this great gift of salvation. That if you surrender, if you make Jesus your Lord, He will wash away your sins. He will restore you. He will remake you. You see, sin came in and disturbed the relationship between God and man. In that garden, God created it so that man and Him would reign in this relationship forevermore without the impediment of sin. But then sin comes in. You remember Adam and Eve, and they ate of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and all of a sudden now sin is come into this world. And since sin has come in, a separation has happened. A separation between God and man. You see something very different with the relationship between Adam and Eve before sin came in. Before, they were naked and unashamed. They walked around the garden freely and all that. And then after sin, when God came looking for Adam, He's, first of all, Adam, where are you? Where was Adam? Hiding. Was he naked and unashamed? No, he was naked and ashamed and trying to cover up his nakedness, right? And so now we see that there's a distinct difference between how man operates and how he operates within himself, with his relationship with Eve and his relationship with God. Everything has changed. And what Jesus has done, what was lost in the garden, Jesus came to restore. Jesus comes to give us something we could not do for ourselves. And so maybe there's someone here today and you're ready to surrender. You're ready to surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're recognizing that only he can remake you. This is what I don't want us to just have. I don't just want you to have a side of Jesus. I don't want you to have your meal and all that with a side of Jesus. No, he's the main dish. We a lot of times Jesus is my co-pilot. No, Jesus is the pilot. He's not on the side. He's not, you know, he's the one in charge. And so for us, what we need to do is put ourselves at his mercy, throw ourselves at his feet. If you're ready here today to surrender Jesus Christ, you surrender in this watery grave of baptism. Why? Why this watery grave of baptism? Well, because baptism represents exactly what Jesus did. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose. In baptism, you die to your sins. You're buried in that watery grave, and you rise to walk in newness of life. And in that newness of life, look at what Galatians tells us. It says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. In other words, that those old man garments in baptism, they come off. And when you come up out of that watery grave, now you got some new threads. Hello. Amen. Some Jesus threads. They white too. Like, I don't wear a lot of white stuff because I'm messy. All right. But you can't mess up his whites. And so that's what you want. You want to be clothed not with your garments, but with his. I want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, rather, and not saying, look, Lord, look at what I did. Look who I am. No, I want to be covered, and I want him to see Jesus, not Domingo. Amen. Today, you can be covered. You can be cleansed. You can be restored. You can be renewed. You can be made right today in Jesus Christ. You can be saved if you're ready to come and surrender to Jesus Christ. Give your life to him, put him on in baptism, and allow him to rise and to remake you, to make you new. And then that's just the beginning journey. Unfortunately, that's not unfortunately, fortunately rather. All right? It don't just stop there. That's the beginning of your new journey with the Lord. And so we want, and that's why he gives you a great family to help you in this great journey. And so we encourage you, won't you come today? Won't you come right now? As we stand and sing the song of invitation, wherever you are, if you're ready to put the Lord on in baptism and to have this new life in him, come right.
Alas, sended my Savior bleed, and it my soul burned high. Oh, devote that sacred head for such a one as I. Oh, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, it rolled away, was there by faith I receive my
creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the